Welcome to the Sparked Podcast, a place to keep your spark bright. Here, I've brought together my most powerful tips from the last decade plus partnering with small businesses on all things leadership, mindset, people, and culture. Here, my approach combines intuitive psychology, strategy, neuroscience, and results-based coaching to unlock your highest potential. Step into your power and truly own your role as a leader so that you can spread the positive impacts of your purpose-led work everywhere. My name is Emma Campbell. I'm a mindset and performance coach for purpose-led leaders. I'm a mama to two cheeky little munchkins. I'm a wine appreciator, nature-obsessed, stubbornly optimistic child at heart. And I'm here to inspire belief in what's possible for you because it is all so possible. I hope that this podcast leaves you feeling lighter, more inspired, and more ready than ever to go out there and take actions on your big dreams and vision. I can't wait to dig in. See you in the podcast. Hello, beautiful people. I am coming to you today feeling very happy and fulfilled this lovely Friday morning after running a workshop last night with an awesome surfing organization called Club Shuckers, who is basically a group for chicks that can't surf, which is me in a nutshell. If you know me well enough, you'll know how I'm a very try-hard surfer. And I'll never give up. I'll never give up. But one day I'll get there. And we ran an awesome workshop all about purpose and mindset and unlocking your true dreams and desires and taking action towards them and not playing small and, yeah, giving yourself permission to bloody just go for it, to own the truth that is living within your heart, because so many of us deny the things that we really want because we think or we tell ourselves stories that it's not possible for us. So that was an awesome workshop. I've actually got loads of speaking gigs and workshops and presentations on this month. It's crazy. I'm presenting to a private girls' high school on cultivating a resilient mindset next week, and communicating assertively with confidence in the workforce for this same high school. I'm doing a presentation on mindset and vision and up-leveling your identity to step into your next level of business for a Profit First conference. That's in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, it's a big, big month. And my little girl, Hazy Babes, just turned three the day before yesterday on Wednesday. Which has just been such a joy. We got her first ever bike, little training wheels, and she was allowed to ride it in the house as a special occasion for her birthday. And she just zoomed up and down the house hallway back and forth so many times. And it was such a joy to watch her first ever little bike. So, yeah, it's been a big week, a big month. We just got back from Bali. An amazing trip with the family, and we did bring a virus back with us, that we caught on the aeroplane, and most of the family have recovered from that. The hubby's still fighting the last little pieces, but yeah, it's been a big couple of weeks and an amazing one though. And last night at the Club Shuckers Purpose Workshop, I actually got to talk a little bit about my own purpose journey of, you know, how I came to be doing what I do today in coaching, and spoke a lot about my experience with anxiety and, how bloody horrible and debilitating it can be. And if you're listening to this and you have suffered with a mental health issue, whether it's anxiety, depression, ADHD or whatever, I just want to say, like, feeling you and sending you like all the love and strength and hope in the world. And I really hope that, you know, my story can hopefully be some hopeful inspiration for you, because, you know, as I shared at this workshop last night, if you haven't heard my story around anxiety, like around 10 years ago, was probably when it was at its worst, and when I was in a corporate organization, and I won't go into lots of the detail around it today, but basically it was horrible and debilitating and took every part of me to keep it under control and keep it under wraps, because I was at a place that I didn't feel comfortable or confident enough to disclose it. You know, I was kind of had this little story in my head that there was something wrong with me and that I had to hide this part of me. And, you know, back then, mental health had a lot more stigma around it. You know, it wasn't something that you talked about a lot. And basically, like the long and the short of it was, you know, I'd use all of my energy that I possibly could to try and, you know, rock up to work with a brave face and a big smile and perform at work. But it was bloody exhausting. And, you know, there was a small part of me that, you know, wondered if I was just going to be like this forever. Like, and I didn't know if there was a way out of that kind of, I don't know, that state of heightened fear and fight or flight all the time. It's horrible. But the good news is I did find a way out. Like, spoiler alert. But it was that time in my life that it really, you know, it forced me to go on this ridiculous, epic learning journey of learning all the things, like to try and find, you know, every possible way out of those feelings of anxiety. You know, I went and saw a therapist. I learned about mental health. I learned about mindset work. I learned about neuroplasticity, neurofeedback, brain training, meditation, breath work. Like, I bloody learned about it all. I was a fiend for information and healing and learning. And the good news is that while it did take a little while to get to this point, I can really confidently say that right now I am, you know, I'd say 90% better. Like, I definitely still can feel anxiety, but it's at a point that I know what to do with it now, and I can catch it early and I can turn it around. And I want to share that because I think the most important part, if you are stuck in some anxiety right now, is knowing that there is a way out and that we are so capable of change and healing and growth and transformation, and that healing is possible. So that was just like the little piece that I wanted to share as we lead into today's topic, which is all about mental health in the workplace. And, you know, obviously a topic that's really dear to my heart. And it came on the back of having several conversations with clients who, you know, have just been kicking goals in almost every part of their business, you know, thriving, happy, high-performing teams, you know, smashing their goals, you know, just, you know, lots of financial success, leaders growing, like all the good stuff, right? But the one piece that they still kind of find quite tricky is around managing the mental and emotional health of their team members when they're going through hard times. And I get it, because even as a coach, you know, mentor, advisor, consultant in this space, and having spent the last decade plus, you know, advising organizations on this space, balancing the ins and outs of, you know, the human within the workplace, like the emotional, mental needs of humans within the workplace, alongside the business needs of, you know, meeting financial targets or productivity or, you know, keeping patients happy or whatever, it is an art and it is a challenge, and there is no like perfect process or perfect way to do it, and it does require a lot of discernment and often a lot of professional advice. So if you are struggling with any of this, you know, feel free to reach out. But what I did want to do today was to discuss a few of the key questions. So I reached out to, I put a question on my Instagram stories to ask what questions people have around this topic. And I also reached out to a few of my clients to ask questions or what questions they have around this topic. And there were so many. So, which just shows it's a really important area. And I'm going to try and cover as many as I possibly can today. However, there are a few that I have needed to bunch together in order to not make this an hour-long episode. What I did want to do is bust a few myths and also just leave you walking away with a few ideas or principles, which you can always have at the back of your mind when it comes to managing mental health at work. Because there is a lot to it. It's not an easy one to manage from a legislative point of view, because there are some pretty strict rules and practices around making sure that we're doing the right thing here. And there is still a lot of stigma about mental health. And often, you know, there can be that kind of mindset that this is a bit of a waste of time and it, you know, like it's just frustrating for some people who perhaps haven't ever suffered mental illness before. There can be a real different mindset there. And I hope that this can reduce some of that stigma and also like empower employers and employees around, you know, the best way to manage this whole situation. Because the cool thing to know is that often those with, you know, mental diversity or mental health issues, whether it be anxiety, depression, ADHD or whatever, it's good to know that often these individuals, while they might have their ups and downs, that often these are the individuals that actually have some of the most creative, incredible, innovative brains in a business that bring a whole new level of diversity and like innovative thinking to a business, and that with the right support, the right care and environment, while these individuals can also come with their challenges, they're often the ones that can actually bring that next level of success to a business, because they, you know, with diverse minds can come diverse, you know, thinking and results. So, okay, let's jump into it. First question, can we ask someone if they have a mental illness? Great question. So firstly, know that employees do not need to tell you as their employer of any of their personal medical information, whether that's mental illness, a broken leg, whatever, unless it's relevant to the job that they're doing. So they don't need to tell you unless it's relevant to the job that they're doing. So what you can do during the interview process is ask them a simple yes or no question. And that is, do you have or do you suffer from any pre-existing injury, illness, or medical condition which may impact on your ability to safely perform the inherent requirements of the role? And what that does is support you with the right information to make sure that this will indeed be the best fit for this individual. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that you would say no to the individual, but it empowers both of you to have the best conversation that you can to support a win-win for both parties, right? The second question is, what do I do if a worker is displaying, you know, symptoms of mental illness, but they haven't told me about any issues? So the first thing that I would say is to know that there isn't a legal obligation for workers to disclose their information about into any like mental health issue or disability. And while this can be frustrating, disclosure is often a really difficult choice for a worker to make. You know, there's so many parts to that decision-making process on their individual circumstances, you know, how safe they feel to speak up, the context, and just how like comfortable they feel about actually discussing the issue, because it can be quite terrifying. And I know I can speak to this from a personal experience. You know, when I entered the workforce, you know, around that decade ago, the story that I was telling you about before is when I was experiencing lots of anxiety. You know, I hadn't been like formally diagnosed with it, but I definitely would have been if I had gone to a doctor and properly spoken about it. But I think I was in real denial. You know, I didn't want to admit that I had an issue, like, because I thought that it meant admitting that I had something wrong with me. And as a high performer, you know, that really went against the identity that I wanted to promote to the world. And while it was challenging at times to operate and deliver with this condition of anxiety, you know, I was still able to show up and perform. And I guess like the tricky part about the situation that I was in, and what I would imagine would be quite common for a lot of people out there, is that the workplace that I was in at the time, I didn't feel like it was the most mentally or emotionally supportive workplace. Like I didn't feel psychologically safe there. I didn't feel safe enough to disclose that I had a mental illness without feeling like I might be judged or criticized by the leaders of the workplace. So if you have an employee who is displaying symptoms of mental illness, yet they haven't told you about their issues, you know, first of all, just really try and empathize with their situation and know that they're probably doing their best and that the best thing that you can do is to work on creating the most healthy, safe, and, you know, well workplace that you possibly can, and to continue building a trusting and supportive relationship between you and your employee. I recorded a podcast episode on psychological safety in my last podcast episode. So if you want more tips on how to actually build psychological safety, that can be a really helpful one. I'd encourage you to check that out too. And I guess that leads into like, what the next question is, like, what are my responsibilities when a worker has, like, what are my responsibilities as an employer when a worker has not disclosed their mental illness? And so, as you know, while a worker may choose not to disclose their mental illness with you, even if it's quite evident that they are not coping in the workplace, they still don't have to disclose, right? However, if a worker is having difficulty performing the inherent, like the key core requirements of their job, and you think that this might be related to the mental illness, then what you can do from that place is, one, choose a time that you feel like supports you guys being able to have a really safe and calm conversation, and ask them if there is any assistance that you can give to them or any like adjustment that you can make to their work or to the workplace that could assist them in performing their job. So this is something that you can do, is like ask if there's any assistance that you could offer to help them perform their job. You can also, you know, share with the entire team the choice of seeking confidential support from an EAP or an employee assistance program, or even an external coach. You can offer flexible working arrangements like variable start and finish times or job rotation. You could change the workplace or the work area and help move that worker to like a quieter worker area or something like that. But basically, you're just trying to like offer as many things as you can, and make it as safe as possible for them to be able to, you know, speak up about what's going on for them and, you know, still meet those core requirements of the job. But what happens if performance is being affected? So this has been a really, really core theme of the question when I reached out to my community is, you know, what if performance is being affected? Slash, like, how do you balance mental health with meeting performance standards? Slash, how do you balance, you know, the management of like personal slash professional boundaries and needs? So this is a really, really great question. And the one, if there's one thing that I would love for you to take away from this podcast episode, it's knowing that you are always entitled to apply your standard performance management system to all workers where you have a legitimate concern about their performance. So I'm going to repeat that one more time. You are always entitled to apply your standard performance management system to all workers where you have a legitimate concern about their performance. So you can always manage performance. If they're not meeting the core requirements of the job, you know, you still have a requirement to support them in any way that you can, and you can always manage performance. So what this can look like is to encourage and enable the worker to discuss the performance concern, and you can actually ask them, like, you know, do you have any health issues that may be impacting on your performance? That can be a really helpful question. And be willing to explore, you know, whether there's any reasonable work adjustments that you could make to accommodate that particular, the impact of that particular mental illness without compromising their core job responsibilities, right? You know, that's part of their employment agreement or their employment commitment, is to deliver on those core job responsibilities. And your responsibility is to support them by making any reasonable, in inverted commas, because reasonable can be defined in a few different ways, any reasonable work adjustments to help accommodate them. So what this can mean is, you know, always making sure that you're sensitive, you know, like addressing the issue in a really sensitive way. And if it is coming to a place of needing to manage the performance of the individual, you want to follow standard performance management processes. And if it gets to a point that you realize that the performance issues are not a result of mental illness, and that you've done everything that you can to support them with reasonable adjustments, and they're still not able to meet that level of performance that you need to, that's when you can actually, you know, if it gets to that point, you can think about disciplinary action or termination at that point. But that it's complicated at that point. So I would encourage you to seek advice. But just know that you can always manage performance. That's that kind of like key takeaway that I'd love you to take from this episode. Another question is, how can you encourage an employee to get help when you can see that their mental health is affecting others at work? Great question. And I feel like there's two parts to this. So first, you know, how can you encourage someone to get help in general? Great question. Secondly, what do you do if something is affecting others at work? So there's two parts to that. And I'll start with the second part. So firstly, if their behavior is impacting others, this is a behavioral slash a performance issue, right? So you can always address that unacceptable behavior or performance. So if they're speaking to someone in an unacceptable way, using an aggressive tone or an inappropriate communication style, like that piece can be addressed just on its own as a behavioral or a performance issue, right? And to answer the second part of like, how can you encourage someone to get help in general? Big question, great question, complicated answer. Well, not kind of complicated answer. The first piece is that, you know, I would always encourage you to ask the question, like, do you have any health issues that may have impacted on your behavior? And, you know, that's always their choice as to whether they want to disclose the answer to that or not. And you can always ask them if there's any assistance that you could give them to help them perform their job and, you know, behave in the best way. You can always offer the choice of seeking confidential support from an EAP or a psychologist or an external provider, you know, a performance or an employee coach or something like that. And you can always, and I would be recommending this regardless anyway, is do all that you can to provide a healthy, safe workplace. Because when employees are at their healthiest, both physically and mentally and emotionally, that's when your business results are going to be at their healthiest, right? Because we can only perform at our best when we're feeling our best. When we feel good, we do good. There is no doubt about it, right? So there's a whole bunch of different things that you can do to help create a healthy workplace, which will really vary depending on your sort of setup. But what I've seen from others is things like meditation rooms, you know, offering workplace flexibility, you know, really creating an open and psychologically safe environment. You as a leader, you know, modeling mental health and modeling a healthy lifestyle and knowing the impact that you as a leader has on the rest of the team. You know, modeling a healthy mindset. So being really open and honest and sharing about some of the things that you personally do to help keep yourself, you know, mentally healthy can be really, really impactful as well. And I guess just always remembering that, like, gosh, the journey of mental health takes time. To get from a place of surviving to thriving is a process that needs to be done in steps. And often it, you know, it, depending on where it's at and how severe and serious it is, it might start with medication, them going to their doctor and getting medication. It might progress to them seeing a psychologist before they get to a point that they're ready to, you know, even take the next step to kind of, I don't know, build a really strong and empowered mindset and build healthy habits into their lives. So, you know, mental health really is a continuum that can like go up and down any day. And that it does require a lot of patience and a lot of support. And just, yeah, a lot of empathy. So the last question is, how can you manage your own mental health when you work with people that have preconceived ideas and stigma about it? So first of all, yeah, there is still a lot of stigma out there. I think it's slowly but surely, you know, being weeded out / people are becoming more and more educated and informed on the importance of mental and emotional health. And the first part that I would say is if this is you in this situation, like try to not take too much notice of what other people think and just keep working on you. Keep doing you, keep doing the things that you know work for you. Keep focused on your goal. Like just stay committed and stay on the path, right? Whatever that looks like for you, whatever you know supports you and brings out your best, whether that's eating well, you know, keep seeing that psychologist, keep exercising, whether it's meditation, you know, connection, community, whatever you know that's supportive, just keep doing that. And do what you can to start to educate and inform those you work with around mental health. Whether that's sharing podcast episodes around, sharing articles that you read online, whether you want to get a speaker into your workplace to run a workshop with the team, because there, you know, there's certain things that we've all had backwards ideas about in the past, whether that was gay marriage or women's right to vote or be in the workplace, all of those sort of things that, you know, back in the day people didn't know any better until they were educated and informed around it, right? So in order for them to change their mindsets around it, they need the information. So looking for those sort of opportunities to start to empower and inform those around you can be really helpful. Speaking to your leaders and your managers about getting an external provider to come in and run a mental health workshop can be really helpful. And just to start to reduce that stigma and help educate people on like what mental health actually is, right? Because having the support and the understanding and encouragement from those around you, it will help and it will change things. So it is really important. Lots of questions there today, guys. Please reach out to me if you've got any more. It's a really big topic and I'm here to help. So please reach out to me on hello@emmacampbell.com.au if you've got any questions or if you would like me to come in and run a workshop with your team. Sending all the love. Have a great day. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. If you enjoyed, I would just love it if you took one little minute to leave a quick review or even to share this potty with a friend who you think might benefit from its message. It's honestly hearing your feedback that keeps me going and helps me spread the word to get in the ears of other people just like you who are going through similar challenges and keen for a little bit of inspiration. Thank you so much. I love you. I appreciate you. And I'll see you in the next podcast.